This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Thanks for joining us. Monday marked the 50th anniversary of National Public Radio's first day on the air. Before that day, NPR was just an idea, living in the minds of its creators, including Bill Siemering. The Madison native has been drawn to radio since his childhood, and that set the stage for a notable career. Siemering has worked for decades in public radio, but he is most widely regarded for his work in crafting NPR's original mission statement. Although the world of audio has changed quite a bit in the 50 years since NPR began, that original mission statement continues to guide its work. Lake Effect's Ben Benversi spoke to Siemering about the evolving sound of NPR and the allure of audio as a medium for learning.
Audio is an intimate medium, and it's really participatory in that the listener is imagining what they're hearing. They imagine what you look like and what I look like. They have ownership then of the experience, you know, that way. And there's nothing like the human voice to be so expressive and to be able to focus on that. And you could see how if there were visuals to it, it would ruin it, you know. Now, of course, there's intimacy in every medium, but I think there's a specialness about radio and audio that is unique.
So NPR joined a long tradition of audio storytelling. What was the media landscape at that point? What was different about NPR that it was bringing to the world?
There were three or four networks, three and a commercial, and then there was PBS was out on the air. And really the news that came out of New York was, you know, a white man, voice of authority, pretty much. And there were no people of color. There were people of color on perhaps white-owned, black-oriented music stations. But there are no people of color in newspaper reporting or anywhere else. So it was pretty one-dimensional. And it was the news. Robert Crowe just said, news is, this just happened, this just happened. And there's so much more to tell then this just happened, to be reflective, to give context, to talk about things that cannot fit into a short news summary.
So before NPR was a real live breathing thing and before All Things Considered was brought to air, it was just an idea really that was growing and living inside of your head and other people's heads who were working on it, crafting it. Where did the idea come from, and what was the driving force behind that idea?
To some extent, you know, I felt some anger the way things were. And I had come out of work at SUNY Buffalo, where I had established a storefront studio in the heart of the Black community. And this amplified the voices of people living there. Conversational, of course, and I believed in conversational on radio anyway because it's an informal medium. So those were some of the influences on what I was doing. And the 60s were very turbulent, as you know. And so I believe we needed to reflect diversity as being inclusive. We changed the name from educational radio, you know, to public. And I was brought up with educational radio, one of the finest stations in the country at WHA in Madison. And I was a student there. So I thought a lot about this. And public meant inclusion, meant everyone. Not that educational was limited, but it had a different connotation to it, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go to school now. So this is much more wide open and an opportunity to create a new sound and new ideas, new ways of experiencing life, if you will.
Yeah. I think maybe educational does capture a lot of what NPR does, but I think maybe the shift to public emphasizes what was a part of the founding mission and principles, which was talking with people rather than talking about them.
Right.
And to me, that kind of gets at the value of listening. And you're talking about conversations and the power that a conversation can have, because that's really what we're doing here on the radio. We're having conversations with people.
Right.
And the idea that we can then learn, and that all of our listeners can learn from a conversation with someone, is a really powerful thing.
Right. When I was 6 years old, I went to a country school outside of Madison and listened to the Wisconsin School of the Air. So from my very first contact with radio, I knew it was a medium that had a purpose. Mm. And so I felt that with public, we needed to have a purpose to define what that was. And it would be different from commercial radio, from the educational radio, from PBS. And so it would stand on its own. So when I wrote the purpose of the statement, it was both aspirational and I thought practical.
So NPR started at a time of upheaval and social change, as you mentioned, and we're definitely going through another cycle of that now. And I wonder what you see as NPR's role, if you take the long historical view and into the future. Obviously, you're not the czar of NPR, but from your perspective and in your opinion, what do you see as NPR's role in a changing society and giving people information to make change that they want to see in the world?
Yeah, I actually wrote about that in the purposes, you know, that people would be able to make intelligent decisions. And also, I said that listeners should feel that the time spent with NPR was among their most rewarding and media contact. And that's true now. It's been made real, you know. And I talked about enjoying the pleasure of living in a diverse society. The pleasure of that. And not the fear of it, but the pleasure of diversity. And that's still a theme that we're working on as a country, to enjoy that, to be reflective of what the country is. And I see that continuing to grow. I hesitate to be any prophet, and I won't do that because, you know, who could have envisioned the internet or a pandemic? But I think the core values are appreciated. 60 million people use NPR a week. That's impressive. And NPR is very well represented. It's the leading publisher in podcasts. So I think they're on the right track, clearly. And I would hope it's even more appreciated. And I think in the difficult times we've been through, it has been more appreciated. The audience has grown. During the pandemic, it's shifted to other platforms to some extent. And young people are streaming and listening to it that way. So I think the audience will continue to grow, and there's going to be a deeper appreciation of it.
On that note, you originally were the programming director for National Public Radio. Thinking about reaching new audiences and including voices that haven't been listened to for a long time, and voices that have been pushed to the margins and maybe not featured even on programs across National Public Radio, how can we in public radio look back to the founding of NPR to push us forward into this new world?
Yeah. I mean, if I can quote myself.
I think that would be appropriate.
51 years ago, I wrote, before NPR was started, I wrote that the editorial attitude, it would not substitute superficial blandness for genuine diversity of regions, values, and cultural and ethnic minorities which comprise American society. It would speak with many voices and many dialects. The editorial attitude would be that of inquiry, curiosity, concern for the quality of life, critical, problem-solving, and life-loving. The listener should come to rely upon it as a source of information of consequence, that having listened has made a difference in their attitude toward the environment and themselves. So the speaking with many voices, it should be many accents, infers that the staff should be diverse, you know, as well. And I think, I know that NPR continues to work diligently to be more inclusive in their staff and in their reporting. So I think it's also up to the local stations to be doing this, to get into their local communities and voices that aren't usually heard. There's a stereotype of what NPR is. And that's a challenge, I think, to overcome that by being more inclusive of voices, perhaps, of people that are living in poverty, for example. Not just hearing their plight, but to hear their culture. That's what we were doing in Buffalo in 1970, where we had people that were living in the heart of the Black community there on air. We had a Black Arts Festival. Folks brought in poems and we had them on the air. We had a live jazz concert. We had people that had never been on the radio before, of course, doing programs. The basics of radio, you know, are really easy to learn, aren't they? I mean, learning how to use a microphone and a tape recorder and even editing doesn't take much more than a day or so. But it's harder to teach passion or empathy or curiosity. And those are the qualities we'd like to hear on the air.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you, Bill, for helping to lay the foundation for NPR's first 50 years and sharing your story and thoughts about how that might look going into its next 50 years.
Well, thank you very much. It's been good talking to you, Ben.
Bill Seemering is one of the founding members of National Public Radio and the author of its original mission statement. He spoke with Lake Effect's Ben Benversi, and you can read Seemering's mission statement at WUWM.com. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.